Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. On this episode, we're going to talk desert islands and it's wrong to be right.
One, two.
Boom, Beer Fridge Podcast. Hello and welcome to another weekly episode. Wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you subscribe, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of every single episode. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. Do exactly the same. Subscribe, be notified to be able to watch us. Much appreciated. Show your official support by going to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast as well. My name is Gavin. I've got my usual drinking buddies in the form of Mark and Scott. And Callum. Full squad is here. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yo, yo.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Right, we'll go around
the... That was good you to bring us in and just at the right time not to make a cunt of your intro.
Fly. It's close. I could see you at the corner of my eye. I was staring down there and I can see you just there.
You did well. Very professional.
I'm getting there. We'll start off as we normally do. Go around the virtual table and see what we're drinking. It's kick things off. Callum, what you got?
Shifty. So I haven't actually had a craft beer since last week's podcast. I'm ashamed to admit. I've kicked things off with Shifty by Drop Project, 5.2% pale ale, Mosaic, Citra, Azaka, and various different forms. And it's lovely. It's just an absolutely crushable pale ale, and all the kind of bingo words spring to mind. You know, the stone fruits, the tropical vibes. It's juicy. It's thick. Lovely. Really complex flavour. Despite the sort of generic words that I'm using, you know, you can definitely pick out the different nuances of the hop and their tangerines and bubble gums and things like that. But yeah, it's delicious. Absolutely lovely.
It's a cracking beer, isn't it? Was that 4 years ago since we had them first on the podcast, roughly?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Must be. Yeah. It wasn't long after I started coming on the podcast for you guys.
And they've been doing the same beer. I assume they've been thinking about making it slightly better, as every brewery does, and it's a cracking beer. Can't wait. What was it? It was 1080, wasn't it? And...
1080. Was it
Hacken was really good. And then I think it was last year, the year before, we had Shifty Shifty as well, which was insane.
I've got a lovely looking double in the fridge waiting, so I might crack that next. See,
a lovely wee pair. Very nice. Gilroy.
I'm finishing off the second last can. I know I'm behind Mega, but I've had loads of good beer to get through and I'm trying to clear some space because I've put in a pretty sizable order, although I just found out I'm going to have to drive to Aberdeen to go and get it if I can't solve that problem. So, but I've got a big order coming. Would be great room in the fridge, plus hopefully got a decent bruiser box coming in. So I'm rounding off the putty order for the year and having another one. I've got one left in the fridge and it mellows so much. But it still packs all the relevant oomph in terms of flavour. The bitterness is amped up ever so slightly, so it's slightly less sickly. Much more easy drinking now than it was at the original. And you've not got, no, there was any burn before. You just had that kind of, I suppose, what Verdant would call freshness. It kind of ebbs away a wee bit, but it just leaves you with a really smooth, kind of well-balanced beer, and I'm really enjoying it. It's testament. It's last
proof as if it were, almost. Proof as if it were needed that although you have to get on these beers quick, you know, if there's hype around the beer and you know you need to get in the door quick, it pays to hang on to them for a couple of months.
If you're storing them properly in the fridge and things like that, then they can they can stay. They're almost in stasis, if you like. I'm not saying they don't dissipate. There's definitely some things missing for it that aren't punching quite as hard as they were at the original. Some things fade, but I don't think it fades and leaves it totally undrinkable.
No,
well, that's actually pretty open. Actually going to open it tonight as well. I think I've got three sitting in the fridge. And when I was rummaging, I thought, oh, will I know? And then I seen what I decided to lift instead, and I'm pretty happy with my decision, to be honest. So, but yeah, no, I think the putty thing's the right idea, mate. I wasn't overly, I wasn't blown away with it when I drank it the first time. So the only way to really kind of test it is leave it a couple of months and, you know, kind of get on it. So I'm, like you say, intrigued. I'm drinking a future guest's beer, limited edition beer.
I was gonna say, hope it's a beer.
Yeah, it is a beer, definitely. So good job, Callum, locking in a couple of weeks' time, upcoming guest at Wasted Degrees. I was lucky enough to be driving past the brewery last week or whenever it was, and thought it would be rude not to just kind of pop head in and see what the crack was. And had a couple of their beers over the weekend, and we'll touch base on them later. But this one I'm on the now is their limited edition Kvik IPA, 5.9%. And best before date, April 2025, which means it's been in the can less than a month, give or take. If it's got the year on it.
That's one of the ones we're going to be talking about with Jack when he comes on. So I'm glad you've got a can of that to try.
It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's everything that you want. Like, remember when the Kvik IPA was a thing?
As soon as you say that, I was like, I forgot about that phase.
It was if you want to call it a phase.
Everybody had one for a bit, didn't they?
Big thing. And can I just say, I haven't tasted this thing. I hope it comes back because honestly, it's delicious. It's like, you know, I don't know.
Plenty of breweries are still using Kvik. They just didn't seem to be shouting about it quite as much as they were when it first sort of came onto the scene. It's kind of, it seems like it's kind of lost its star quality, but I don't know why, because any beer that it touches is infinitely better than it would have been without it. So,
did it become a lot of breweries obviously champion their own strain. So if you look at Verdant, for example, they've obviously got their own yeast strain, which they promote, and obviously they've got their own culture and stuff like that for doing it. So they're also set and sorted. I think, did it maybe become, like, they explored it and got to the end of it and it became almost a cheat yeast?
So my theory of it is I think people are still using it. And I think it's going to be the same thing that happens to like thialized beers, which just becomes normal, where you don't shout about it.
It's not on your list of things.
It's just
a new bingo word. There's a new fad. You know, if it's, you know, we've went through the incognito phase. We've went through the, like you say, the thialized phase. Obviously, T90 was the first, and then what was the one last week? It was like the whatever the oil and all that was as well.
Hop Keith.
That's why I never, you know, the hop is the hop, the flavour is the flavour. It's maybe just amplified slightly depending on the variant of or the style of hops that you put in. But I mean, that's when I say the hops in all their forms. I mean, this has got Citra T90 and Citra Cryo, Mosaic T90 and Mosaic Cryo. You know, it's like
just normal,
different versions of the same hop. It's, you know,
the T90 was one of the Terminators, wasn't it?
he was the one that was pushed all the time.
If we're talking about, like, I'd say,
I'm looking,
like,
for Wally Connor. Got the wrong name.
I'm wanting to make some new Terminator babies.
Fucking hell. Sorry, that was a rabbit hole. We're not even finished with what we're drinking yet.
God almighty, we don't even have the 10-minute mark yet.
Terminator rabbit hole already. Good.
We've not even
heard
what Gav's drinking.
No, but like just
a juice, bud.
Just H2O, Kvik. This is, honestly, I can't wait. Like, I'm looking forward to hearing all about this thing, because obviously limited edition, it means, you know, I'm guessing, like you say, I know they do a lot of kind of core range stuff, so I'm guessing once this is gone, it's gone. But hopefully they brew it again, because that's how That's how bloody good it is. It has a good. Like a proper like marmalade vibe. It actually, it's got that Voss IPA vibe.
Oh,
to it.
Nice.
You know, it's kind of got that like. So it's Voss Kvik yeast. So it's obviously like same strain and the rest of it.
Similar
but
vibes,
like,
right? Okay.
It's totally got, but it's got all the tropical bingo phrases you want to hit to pineapples and mangoes and stone fruits and la di da di da. But like, for me, the shine and quality of it is that like proper marmalade vibe, which is weird because I wasn't overly impressed with the Stuart version, whereas I feel like this is a wee bit more balanced.
See, we raved about the Voss from Stuart, if I remember correctly.
I like the Voss. Like, so. I quite like it. Yep. I like the kind of fruited. I can imagine having tried the Airspace IPA for Wasted Degrees. They seem not to shy away, or don't ever shy away from having a bit of bitterness in there, which I can imagine probably leans more towards, like, Mark's definitely the guy that has fucking orange peel in his marmalade, right? So that it gives you Mary maybe that, which probably a better balance in terms of being more fruity forward and sweet. So
it's actually got a proper sticky vibe to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like proper marmalade vibe. It's honestly, it's ace.
The bitterness they pack into the Airspace IPAs was different class. Just, but no fear or have to mention it or anything like that at all. Just has it. And it's super. Love Wasted Degrees. Can't wait to talk to them.
Honestly,
Gavin, should probably talk to you as well, considering you're the host. What are you having to drink, pal?
We should. No idea. Right, I am drinking our good friend Bayonet, a beer that I was saving until my local bottle shop picked up some cans, so it gave me free will to open this. It pays to win. We've spoke about it numerous times. Double IPA, Nelson Citra, 8.2%. It's got our fucking logo on it, old logo, but it's got our logo on it nonetheless. And it's still tasting really good. The Nelson is popping on this right now. This is the second brew of it, and it is popping off. Proper grapey white wine. It's absolute punching above its weight in terms of what you would maybe, or people that never had Bayonet, you're going to get a real surprise with this beer, 100%. And I'm looking forward to getting some reviews. I'm going down to the bottle shop tomorrow to go and pick up some more. So looking forward to it. So, aye. Smashing beer, we spoke about it to length numerous times, and it's fucking good. It's fucking good.
Bueno.
Right then, wee bit of a different, but no, I say different podcast. There's going to be some fun, weird things that we're going to do. I'll do a quick review / conversation about the festival I attended on Friday, Brew London 2024 at its new venue at Between the Bridges. Could not be more central London if you pretty much fucking tried. London Eye on the doorstep, Big Ben over the other side of the water as well. So venue-wise was a cracking place. Moved from the Printworks, which was kind of more East London. So this was slightly easier to get to, a 5-minute walk from Waterloo Station. But I've been going to this for the last 4 years. Gil, you were there last year. Mark, you were there 2 years ago, I believe, if memory serves me right. It's a wee bit of a different festival from the We Are Beer ones. You get some of the bigger guys there, and then you get some like breweries that you've maybe never heard of. And we, especially last year, we came back with Way Out Back, and then a couple other breweries that were making some fantastic beers. So it's got like almost, I was going to say tradition, but you can always come away with from there finding some new breweries that you can get excited about. This year, in a smaller venue, it's not they've got the same vibe as what it had.
But it's a shame.
That venue in the Printworks was fucking pretty cool, a big warehouse.
Right.
And like, well, I remember last year, Gil, you and Andrew playing the air hockey and stuff like that. None of that kind of thing was there at all. And darts, all those stuff, nothing like that was there. I don't know, there was a table tennis.
It's just when you said that, I just felt like such a shame because, like, I felt like it had such a good vibe When I was there anyway, you know, and it was like, we obviously were there trade day, so it wasn't like heaving, but I felt like there was still a really good kind of buzz around when we were there. And like just kind of stripping that back, I feel is a bit doing it a disservice. But obviously, you were the same. It was a, was it not like a 4-dayer this year too? Was it not like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It was weird though. It started like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I went, no, it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was.
Right.
So they spread it.
So what was on the Wednesday? You were on the Wednesday, were you?
No. So the Wednesday, it was just an evening session. Wednesday night was a trade session. And then I think there was another trade session on a Thursday afternoon, then a trade session Friday afternoon. So there was a ton of trade sessions. My feeling about this festival is it's becoming just that. It's a festival for trade. Like London is a high for craft beer. And yes, there's a ton of macro kickabout.
So was there a ton of buyers there? What was it?
Aye, mate.
It's like buyers and influencers kind of thing.
Aye, there was loads of, like, we say boo and there's fucking us, you know what I mean? Like, we're probably in the same bracket.
I was fucked the tongue firmly in cheek, mate.
And it's like some food and drink fucking reviewer was like, oh, the biggest craft beer festival in the UK. And I was like, fucking where? I was like, it's no fucking this one. It's no that 100%. It's cool. Yeah. The venue was wicked, smaller than the Printworks, but the venue was cool. It was smart. Like I said, the food court bit was awesome because it was all encompassing of the venue.
Who was the big? Sorry for interrupting. No, right. Explanation. Who was the big brewery? Like was there like because it was Camden when we were there, so Camden were everywhere. Who was that this time, or was it more evenly split this time?
No, it was evenly split. The stall that took the biggest amount of room was the American stuff, the Virginia beer kind of conglomerate, those kind of things. So that that was the biggest space. There was a cocktail thing as well behind it, and then that guy that I got stuck to talking to last year at the darts, who was trying to sell me a keg. Mm.
Kickstarter guy. I was going to say, because they were the ones that brought all the games and everything.
Aye.
Because obviously they were wanting to speak to the brewers and stuff as well, because that's their gig, is they need brewers to buy their product. So they had things on for them and all that kind of stuff. That was where the foosball tables and the air hockeys and all that kind of stuff came from. It was all the keg companies and stuff.
Aye, like that was brewing cool.
Keg
like
companies and stuff that were there.
So like there was nae Camden, nae like Forest Road, nobody like that at all. I mean, Mad Squirrel were there, Fierce were there, 71, Budvar. So you had Adams.
Adnams.
Adnams. They were there.
The Ghost Shippers.
Yes. With their new branding. So it was all right. Like it was a proper trade vibe, which I suppose it's daft to say when it's a fucking trade session, but with the breweries that were there, you can see why they're there. You can understand why Fierce are there. They want to grow. They want to grow a market in London. London's a big market, so if you can get in London, you're sorted. Same with 71 and all these smaller but slightly bigger crafty breweries that are kicking about. There was a couple of really crafty ones, smaller ones. There was a fucking brewery that was only started brewing 2 months before the festival, and they brought a lager.
A launch.
But I was like, fair play to you guys, but one, this is that was a really expensive festival to be a part of, and then talking to the guys at Fierce, like with the way it was before at the Printworks, at least that was kind of East London-ish. So, like, it's still London price in terms of hotels, but London prices in central London for a hotel for four nights, Jesus fuck. Like,
true.
The first day we're saying it was like nearly 300 quid a night. Like,
mad.
Stay in the van.
Why you would?
Stay in the van.
But in fairness, overall, it just didn't have the same vibe as it had before. I felt it was a wee bit more indie. maybe a bit hip, maybe like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's lost its shine a wee bit.
It was very much Instagrammable.
Oh, 100%.
Last year, it was 100% Instagram feed fodder for everybody that was there. There was a lot of pictures getting taken and influencers and stuff like that kicking about. The one thing I was going to say was a turn up for the books was the weather, because the last time we were there, we really had a fucking canoe. Last year when we were there, you remember that? Having to hide under all the canopies and everything and the walk round. It was like the longest walk in history with no cover at all. Absolutely chucking it down.
That was awful. It was a bit monsoony. But in that, from that perspective, like, it's easy to get. It was really easy to get to. It was a 5-minute walk from Waterloo Station. It's right on the Thames. So, like, again, it is Instagrammable to a certain degree.
You got to go and visit some cool bars afterwards, didn't you? How many bars did you go to? Because that was the one thing we were, like, obviously we went through the tirade of 5,000 Ubers cancelling on us trying to get to Bermondsey. And we really did, like, the wait to get to the Kernel was worth it. You got to go into the Brewdog in Waterloo, right?
Yeah, so that place is fucking huge. Like, it is unbelievable. Think of any Brewdog you've been in times it by two. Like, in terms of size, if not double it, easy. It is fucking massive, this place. Big, massive slide.
It's got its own podcast studio and everything.
I was like, shit, this is like...
How much does it cost? Did you ask how much it costs to rent it for an hour?
No, I did discover it's 95 quid.
For a one-time...
You're in
a wee secluded room, so it's all soundproofed.
We could do an inside podcast and just tear them to shreds. That'd
be funny. Located from inside Brewdog.
We'll bring in.
Just make your way through the guest.
That's exactly where I was going. I was like, we've brought our own tinnies. We're not drinking any of that muck, but we're drinking our own tinnies.
But I went in there and then I went in the Waterloo tap.
Didn't he go down the chute? He's the only one, speaking for myself, he's definitely the only one out of me and Gavin that would fit down the chute, and he didn't go down the chute.
No, I was semi-tempted and then realised I was by myself and I was like, I'll probably look a right fucking knob.
Should have just went
down,
put the bag down first, and then follow
the bag. I follow the bag then. What's that clang when you go off the shoot? That's my hands.
My bag had better beer than what was getting served, so that's risky business. But no, like,
I believe you didn't have lockers to leave your stuff, like when you go on the roller coasters and that.
That would have been sweet. But no, Waterloo Tap was decent enough. And the Brewdog place is just—it's insane how big that place is. It's ridiculous. The bowling, I want to say there was something else like darts or something. But there's loads of shit you can do in there, which is
quite
really
awesome
cool.
In a way though. Like, I know we've got like the beers took a total like nosedive and all that, but like having a Scottish craft brewery that is like. Built an empire, and especially having something that's like, you know, the heart of London, and we're shooting it in a podcast studio in Bowling, and you know, it's not just a boozer come in and get pissed, you know, it's, you know, come in and spend the day, and that's pretty cool.
In terms of the business, you're never going to hear criticism, you know, in terms of growth and where they've come, and, you know, from their humble beginnings to where they are now and stuff like that. I mean, I think it's absolutely incredible. It's just that's a separate kind of conversation to what normally dominates our discussions on them. So, but anyway.
With Central London and the train stations, if you look at King's Cross, there's a tap room there. Is it the Euston tap as well, which is obviously just on the road. Mm-hmm. Amazing craft beer spot. Waterloo, obviously, you've got the Brewdog in that there. We need to get some better bars near train stations.
Train stations.
That loops us back full circle, because you've got, I suppose you'll have wasted degrees, not for much longer, but he'll have wasted degrees spitting distance for Blair Athol train station, which I suppose is the best craft beer spot near a train station in Scotland at the moment, I would say. Unless you count the Nitro 80 at Bohemia.
Not much. I actually looked at train tickets for that the other day when I was coming down. I was like, because it is, like, you know, 5 minute walk, give or take, off the train at Blair Athol. And I was like, when I was driving, once I got back down the road, I thought, I wonder how much it is, wee cheeky return. Like, because that'd be quite a good deal.
Be that
I think it's 25 quid, I think it was return.
That's what I was like, for a wee return to Blair Athol.
And I was like, good, right? You know, up there, get the train and
get some train beers for the way up, and then fucking wire into the tap room, and then a kebab for the train home.
And then sleep.
I think it's the Athol. What was it? The Athol Arms or something was the pub right next to the station. And I was it's like pub grub and all the rest of it. I was like, absolutely perfect. They get wired at Wasted Degrees in burger chips or whatever it is, and then on the train.
Stick your face into a plate of scampi and chips and then get down the road.
Sounds good. Sounds like a Saturday.
I think it should be a podcast road trip where we just invite everybody and we just take a squad to Blair Athol.
Let's fucking do
it. Train.
100%. Let's do it indeed.
One song in Blair Athol and try and pitch it. I'd imagine they'll have a that's us shifting to Pitwalkery sesh.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on it. We'll speak to them.
Just to shout out some of the brews that were at Brew London, who did have some really good beers. I'm not shitting completely on the festival. I just, because I've been there the last how many years, it didn't feel the same. However, there was some really good beers and really good breweries. And these ones that I'm going to mention were more on the crafty side. Castle Rock, they were there. They had a really, really good DDH pale. It was a single hop DDH with Citra. That was amazing. Moot were there as well. A Kentish American pale, which when you had it, it looked like mud. I look at a muddy puddle, but looks were definitely perceived because the beer tasted really, really good. I'm going to have. They were kind enough to give me a can of butter, not actual butter, but a beer called Butter, which is a double IPA, which I'll get to in a second. B-Man Brewery as well. They were really good. And Iron Pier, and I think there was one more. Let me just double check. Just Iron Pier. Iron Pier as well. So they were the more craftier beers, or craftier breweries, I should say, that are managed to speak to and sample some of their beers, and they're doing some good things. There was obviously like Mad Squirrel, Freedom Brewery, who I never understand how they sell so much fucking beer. Anyway, I just don't get it.
And they're there every year without fail, aren't they?
They're always there, and they're like, I just don't understand. You never really hear of them, and then they just pop up at these festivals, and you see them on Instagram, and oh, we're doing this, and we've sold a bit of milk. I'm like, what? Anywho.
Any Hackney Church this
thing? No. No Hackney Church.
Which is sad, because they were brilliant.
They were really good.
They were really good, always, like their festival space,
Hackney Church. Hop the Pond, they were there, so I tried some of the beers from Texas. They were really good as well. So
I was going to say, when you mentioned Virginia beer, I thought that would have been an opportunity for Hop the Pond to make an appearance as well.
Slipped my mind, but no, they were making, or they brought over, I should say, some really good beers, which I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. Right, something a wee bit different, a wee bit fun. And I've given the guys zero warning to this, apart from what I said at the start, which when I said it, they probably, I think they all pulled up on a face.
A cup of tea, bud, sorry.
Oh, what the fuck is this? It's wrong to be right. So, basically, there is a right answer, and there's plenty of wrong answers to all these questions that I'm going to pose to you guys. There's three rounds to this, and I do not want the right answer. Wrong answers only apply to this quiz.
Oh, nice. This is like... This is like they play this game show on 4th1 on a Saturday morning, and it's Wayne's that phone in, and they ask them questions that are obviously
so weird kids.
They've got to give them the wrong answer to be right. Let's do it.
Love wrong it. Answer. So it's, you have to give me the complete wrong answer. I don't even want dickhead answers. So basically, it's going to be graded, and you're going to have it. So if
well, it's going to be in the right zone, but no, totally ridiculous all the time.
You can't just, you can't just go.
Can like, I just shout green?
Aye,
regardless of what the question is, for example.
Aye. Exactly. So if it's a ridiculous answer, you get 1 point. If it's in the middle, you get two. If it's funny and outrageous, you get three. We're doing three rounds.
Okay.
Each round has three questions. I pose to you, gentlemen, to use your buzzers. Gilroy, I oil and road, as per usual. Marcus Hobbs.
Caca.
Roger that.
I was going to go proper old school Little Wayne with Birdman. But no.
I'll take a car. Callum.
I can't hit, mate.
Who are you going to go for? A full blown jobbies, eh?
Yeah, you can.
I'll, okay, jobbies.
Callum's is just a canny.
Like I said, there's three rounds. Each round has three questions. I do have some bonus ones just in case we have a tiebreaker. Which I cannot, I'm just going to use them anyway. Fuck it. So round one starts off with this. I would say hands on butters, but that's fucking pretty pointless. First round is, what is Belgium wit?
Jobbies. It's a Belgian's idea of comedy.
I'll give you two for that.
That was nice.
It's actually going to be easier not to answer the question, I think, here, Alan.
Budweiser have a new slogan. Their old slogan was King of Beers. What is their new slogan?
Oil on the road.
Oil.
It's not even yours. It's not even yours. You're fucking
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to push it on to Miguel so he could answer it. Kaka,
Mark.
David Hasselhoff is here.
See?
I'm getting that one.
Exactly.
Minus one.
That's a one.
I was really hoping Miguel would have thought that, like, he would have jumped on there, but no. Fine.
We got the right answers at all, no?
No. Fair enough. Last question, another slogan. Finish this well-known Carlsberg slogan. If Carlsberg did what?
On the road. Beer festivals. Carlsberg did beer festivals. That's good.
It is, and I see where you're coming from. Like that,
my answer there would have been, if Carlsberg did water down beer to avoid paying full duty.
if Carlsberg done real beer.
So after round one, Callum is winning with 2 points. The other guys have one each. I propose with this round, on round two, we're going to go round the table and get everyone's answer.
Okay.
On this, we'll start with who has the least amount of points and whose answer was fucking diabolical.
Miguel.
So you're first here, Scott.
Okay.
What is crypto? I'll give him a minute. What's crypto?
It's a new banana-based trading game where you trade bananas betwixt friends and end up with exactly what you started with at the very end.
Fuck off.
I'll give you two for that, mate. a lot of thought in there. Yeah, I'll give you two. I'll go around my screen as it is. Callum, you're next.
Crypto is the latest IPA. From Brewdog, and it's a IPA that can only be drunk virtually on a computer, and you have to mine it to be able to find it and then drink it virtually.
I'll give you 3 for that. That was a good answer. I like that. Mark, that does mean if I'm going in the circle, it means Callum is first for the next question. Mark,
crypto is what Elon Musk eats for breakfast, and he's only able to eat.
You can stop there if you want. That's 3.
No, it was just that. Fine. I was probably going to go a slightly down a wee bit. Like, I'm glad I got the laugh early, put it that way, because it was what I was going to say. I had a wee bit of. Anyway, I'll take it.
Callum is first for this one. What is the name of the famous German beer festival that takes place in October? This could get dark. Look what he's dying to say and what he's known to.
Miguel and I are at a slight disadvantage because both of our other halves are within earshot. So be semi careful about what we say here.
Famous German beer festival that takes place in October.
Okay, I'm going to say it's Look at My Massive Jugs Fest.
Okay.
I'll give you 2.
Solid.
Just to be fair. Mark?
Mine was, it's called No Rhein Hangens About.
I'll give you 3. Scott, who's actually the funniest to ever saw in the way is it?
It's actually called West Fest.
No,
what it is Yorkshire puddings, iron brew, and everything you can think UK style, but everything's made with the same 3 ingredients, which are haggis, roast beef, and a Yorkshire pudding mix. So everything's made with the same 3 ingredients, but it's called West Fest. And it's all UK-based stuff, but celebrated in Germany.
Well played, mate. That's another 3. one last question of round 2. Mark, you are first with this one. All of a sudden, the scores are tremendously close. Only 1 point in it. Mark, what does DDH stand for? I can't breathe.
Oh my god.
What does DDH stand for?
DDH is
you can't, and if you use any of the words that are already in it, I'm just saying.
Oh, really? Oh,
you'll be dot points. And maybe if you can use 1, maybe. Oh, that's funny.
It's actually DDH is the new craft phase for dead dog hair.
At what position in the brewing process do you add that?
All.
Right. Okay. So it's good for bittering aroma and flavour.
No, it's exactly. I'm just not going to say that. Sorry.
I'll give you 3 for that. Well played, Scott.
So where you say DDH, given the times that we're in with cost cutting and cost of living crisis and things like that, it actually now stands on cans for double dipped hops, which means that it's a bit like when you get 2 cups of tea out of the 1 tea bag. What it means is they take the same hops and they use the same hops twice. So they add them and take them away in a tea bag, in the tea bag style of a home brewer, but they take that bag out and they keep it for the next brew. So every brew you get has got double dip tops in it at each phase, meaning that they can more efficiently brew and keep themselves going despite cost of living. So don't read double dry hop, read double dip.
No, that's a double use of hop, surely, though.
I've given two, only 2 points.
I'm allowed one.
I think that should be one.
Oh, no, okay.
Dangerous. Right, Calum, you've had all the time to think about it.
Oh, I know. I'm struggling.
I thought you were writing stuff down as well, Nevin.
Aye.
Yeah. Writing dirty dungarees, ahoy. Mm-hmm.
That's funny, because I had dungarees in my head. I had dungarees in my head, because that's just, like, dungarees and fucking beanie hats night. And vapes and... I'm going to have to pass because I can't think of an H word to go with dirty dungarees. So
there's a pass there, which makes everything that changes the fucking whole perspective of this. Mark's in the lead here after round fucking two with 10 points. Scott is second with 7, and he's tied with Callum on 7 as well.
Oh, I've got it in the bag.
Do we want a drink break before we go into the final round?
I should talk about this beer, Gav, because it's sensational.
Go on then.
This is, shock horror, this is Drop Project, because it's the only craft beer that I've got in the fridge. But it's Dude.
Where's my car?
Yep. Dude, double IPA, 8%. I was waiting for Gav to go.
I was waiting
for Gav to go full screen.
Dude, yeah,
dude, what? 8%. But this dude. It's quite an unusual hop. Bill, this one, Racal Strata and Lorien, I've never heard of. The only Lorien that I've heard of is
the G Lorien.
Kingdom of Lorien from Lord of the Rings. So, but this is really, really unusual. When you see a double IPA, you kind of expect, you know, juice bomb. But this one's really spicy. You're getting peppery notes, cinnamon, really herbal sort of flavors. It's almost got like a savory edge. But right at the end, there's like a big zesty lime kind of flourish at the end, and it's just really, really well balanced. And it, when you first drink it, you think, "Oh, I don't know if I like it," but then it's like, "Oh, I do like it." Really, really, really good. You need to get a can of this, Gav. You'll be able to get a hold of this better than the rest of the other two. You need to try and get a can of this, mate. It's awesome.
All right, we'll do. Sounds cracking. I am on Mad Squirrel Aztec Mountain IPA, 6.2%. That's just, we know our feelings on Mountain IPAs, just being non-existent. And this should just be called a Pale or a New England, because there's no bitterness at all. So, yep. Let's carry on with the quiz. Is it a quiz? I don't know.
Wrong
to be right. It is a quiz. Final round. Like I said, Mark is winning by 3 points.
I don't know how that's possible. He's not had a three pointer yet.
Of the last two questions, I've had threes.
Middle of the road.
What was it? Dry duck here or dying duck here, anyway.
Horrible shit.
Round three. Another three questions for you, gentlemen. Scott, you're first with this one.
Okay.
Name one key ingredient of beer.
Helium. It's the thing that when you add it into a beer, it just gives you that lift. Gives you that, it's like, oh! Every time you have a mouthful, you can feel it getting slightly higher and higher and higher and higher. And when it's added to a beer and done incredibly well, it totally takes over, really lifts you almost off the ground in terms of flavour profile.
See what happened there. Your answer started at a one, and then your explanation elevated it to a two. So you're currently, pun intended, you're currently at 10 points there. Mr. Muir, you're next. What is one key ingredient of beer?
I'm going to say despair. because, you know, we all enjoy a beer. But more often than not, when we drink a beer, it's despair that we you know, very rarely do we drink a beer that lifts us to the heights that helium deserves. So more often than not, the key ingredient in a beer is despair, particularly when you buy that beer from a supermarket.
Going to give you 1.5 there. You need another right. Two. Give you 1.5. Mark.
Camel hump juice. So you see, like, how every beer, when you pour it, there's like, you get the carbonation. Everybody's been told a lie for the first point that it's the CO2 that goes in. It's incorrect. It's camel hump juice that gives it that creamy head that sits at the top of every beer.
The oomph.
You can call it the oomph.
Wow.
The oomph.
I thought you were going to say camel toe, but I.
No.
I'll give you 3.
Such a fucking boss sucker.
Better idea, son.
Oh, I'll give you 3, Mark. Oh, I'm your pal.
Well, your first year, Cam, for this one. What is putty?
It's a. Putty is the sticky substance that can often be found inside the overalls of brewers when they've brewed a good beer. They taste that beer coming out of the tank, and it's instant putty. It's a dry cleaner's nightmare. Trying to get putty out of a set of overalls. Putty is.
That's a good 3 there. Well played.
Back in the game.
While you're coughing your lungs up there, Mark, what's putty?
Putty is the noise that the helium and the camel'd humpback sweat that I mentioned earlier makes when it's injected into the beer. It is...
That was going to be my other one. It's the sound that a good 12% stout makes when it hits
the bottom of the glass. Which is quite funny because I was going with totally the sweatiness of the underarmpits of a brewer, and you totally went with the sweaty bit. So it was obviously.
I've just elevated Callum's half point to a full point there. For the sound effects.
So you get smashed.
I'm not boy for fucking Police Academy.
Did I give you points? That's a 3. It's a 2.
Just because Callum's moaning, he's got to fucking drop me pin points.
Originally I had the 2, and then it was funny, but it was funny because Callum made it funny with the boo-doo.
He's the funniest man in the podcast that's had about 5 minutes to think about this answer.
He's teed up. What's putty?
Inventing gold here.
Putty is the digital currency through which you can invest in the next and in every other brewery's crowdfunding campaigns moving forward. It's a digital currency that means nothing. Automatically gets you 5% off at the tap room that doesn't exist yet, which you're helping to build. And it almost runs on a parallel stock exchange. It can be exchanged for Lucky Charms and other cereals, and even for brewing equipment and ingredients as well. It's a total alternative to money, and it's what breweries are on. If they make enough of it from it, they can use it to write off their duty costs and fees, and use it to make beer at the right percentage of ABV. So it's an online currency.
Like it.
Can I just ask, is that the same currency that Ibria or Pinefolk with?
Correct, you're absolutely right. Da-ding. That's it.
That's a three-pointer there. Mark is winning only by 2 points. And there's a strong chance I'm going to use my two extra questions, because this is actually funny as fuck. Right, should be last question of round three. There's a strong chance the next two questions are going to be bonus ones, and they're going to be a multi-round fucking pointage thingy. But anywho, who's first? Mark, I think, is first.
Well, me? Did I get three?
Yes, you got three.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You're two behind.
I might be better off the cuff, I don't know.
Scores on the doors is Mark with 15, Scott with 13, Callum with 12.
Okay.
And he passing a question. Mark, is it Mark first? I think it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it is. Mark, what does DIPA stand for? Right,
it's really bad that you go down a route and that, like,
immediately. If your route immediately doesn't involve fucking ass or fucking
dick, die.
Hey, hurry up, go on. Because I've got a gidgeon.
Dipper is
by all means, you don't need to use
donkey infused potassium A hole.
I'll give you two.
Oh, that started strong and went there.
I know.
If you finish with anal, it might have been better.
I was, well, that's kind of what I was. Again,
you PG'd it by going.
I did PG. I did PG. I should have Gilroy, guessed 50 minutes in.
Alright, Gilroy, what does DIPA stand for?
I'm struggling.
Time for the tumbleweeds to go across the screen.
No. And I was going to say this before Mark started his answer.
It stands for, tell you what it stands for, dinna interrupt people again.
You're better off the cuff, mate. That's it.
And it's what you shout when during a particular beer podcast as you're trying to explain. You're trying to explain your fifth beer of the evening while somebody wants to veer off. Somebody wants to veer off on another story. You just shout "Dipper" at them, and they immediately have to stop and allow you to continue with your story. So there you go. Dipper equals "Dinny interrupt people again."
That's a three-pointer. Easy. Carl, you had one locked and loaded. What's "Dipper"?
Oh, I did. I'm not sure it's going to stand up to Scott's one, but. This is DIPA is the new and very latest and greatest in hop treatment that wanker brewers all over the world are getting in line, and it stands for dipped in pelican's arse. So once the hops are dried and formed into pellets, they get dipped into a pelican's arse and then infused into the beer, and it gives that extra bit of zing to your beer. So, yeah, make sure that your hops are dipped before you put them in your beer. Dipped in pelicans are.
I can just see the pelican sitting above the mash tun.
Oh, that was an easy, very well played three-pointer. It started off at a one, and it slowly went to a three. Well played. I'm going to do the last two because this is two. Mark is winning by one. It's basically 17, 16, and 15 is the points at the moment. Mark's winning by Mark is currently winning. Who, Scott, you're first. Oh, yes. This could not have played it better.
There we go.
This is teed up for you, mate. Absolutely teed up for you. Scott, what is BrewDog?
BrewDog is... BrewDog is the manifestation of oil, money, and gluttony at its absolute height.
That's good. Yeah, like that.
I suppose also evidence. It's also the newest and biggest and most subversive cult since Scientology. It's in your religion.
Well played. Three pointer right there. Mr. Muir, what's BrewDog?
Okay, BrewDog is a noun. BrewDog is a noun, and it is a noun that describes the kind of person that prowls bars and has that unique sort of lecherous stare across the bar, and is prone to approaching groups of women that are minding their own business, peaceably enjoying their evening, and with lurid, inappropriate comments and unwanted presence. And the word to describe somebody like that would be a BrewDog.
Well played, that's another three. Great
noise. Also, the person that steals the last smoothie who drinks at empty tables. BrewDog.
Go on then, Mark. BrewDog.
So the first thing that came to my mind was BrewDog is the word and phrase that the doctor uses while he's putting the lube on his hand to give you the colonoscopy. Was I'm just going to lube up and give you a good proper BrewDog.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you two, just because you went pure anal, which is an easy
number.
Well, I got told I was the PG. I was too PG the last time, so I was proper going to come out with like actual visuals this time. But
you went hard. You went hard.
And for those of you that are watching on YouTube, then I go to Dr. Mark for your colonoscopy. The big girthy fist going up there.
Elbow deep colonoscopy. It's called a BrewDog. Do you know what I mean?
Why are you getting your colonoscopies done by the Yorkshire vet?
You got a bit of psoriasis on your elbow there. I can feel
that. To be honest with you, I was going to.
Doctors, I thought it was fucking rubber gloves. Oh, no gauntlets.
She just sat back round, but you should have seen the look I was getting.
Miguel, to be honest with you, I'm slightly disappointed. The way I thought you were going to go and the way I was close to going on that one was based around your choices for when you were at lunch and we're talking about the hot pots and all the rest of it. I thought there was going to be a Chinese version of... That's an internal joke that's probably hence the reason
that place was too flashy, too new.
It's a Korean soup.
I was going to say it's the new name of the Golden Swallow. Get what I mean?
Yeah.
100% worthy. Worthy of a bonus point there, Mr. Muir, with it's a Korean soup. Well played.
Why is that teed you up for two extra points?
which weirdly puts us in a situation where we're tied. All three of you are tied.
I feel like it's only fair considering what we've been had to go through for
All tied in 19 points. Oh, there is another question, but I'll leave it there because that was too funny. Probably. Oh, I like that. I like that. Right.
Who won that?
Oh, well, it was draw.
A draw.
That's a shame. I was going to say the winner of that should have been able to go last on the desert island and had the longest to think about it.
Oh, the desert island's an absolute piece of piss, though.
I do have one more question.
Okay. If you don't know your three beers for a desert island, you're fucking like
what? Tenants.
Oh, Foster's, mate. Fuck yeah.
Foster's. Gav would have Foster's.
No.
Now go to the island. Get the island. No. Like, but we're like a quick fire island. So.
Quick fire. Callum, you can explain the island because it was yours.
Yeah. So my idea for.
can anybody guess what Callum's been listening to betwixt work calls?
No. I'm not a fucking Radio 4 listener. So my idea for any podcast chat was desert island beers. So if you could only drink three beers for the rest of your life, what would those three beers be? And why?
Oh, and why?
Okay.
You needed a why. Who's going first? I suppose it should probably be me, shouldn't it?
I'll go first if you want. I think it's
good then. Good then.
So, first beer I would do just for nostalgic sake and I wouldn't get bored of it is Sierra Nevada. OG, West Coast IPA, wee bit of kind of proper bitterness, but you know, you could drink it all day, every day. So I think it's an absolute easy one. If I was on an island, I would need a lager. So The best lager for me is I did debate between a few, but I ended up in Augustina Hells. I think it's phenomenal. And then the third one I tossed and turned. My honourable mention was the table beer from the Kernel. But then I thought to myself, is there much point in having a light beer if you're on a desert island?
Not as if you need to drive home.
No. Very, very, very true. So basically I ended up at Verdant and said, just whatever dipper is the freshest that you've got right this very second, I'll take it. It's not, what's the one that's Half Moon or what'd you call it? Sharks, what'd you call it? The Verdant.
Sharks don't need water.
For me, that's an absolute stalwart of a beer that it's not overly tart either, so I could drink a couple and it's 8%. So.
Very good. I'll jump in here. Easy. I have to go Overtone and I simply have to go Ouija because it's just, if you want an Overtone and Overtone, it should be a fucking a core beer and it should be available all the fucking time is Ouija. Just everything you want from a nice, easy going pale. And I'm going to close it at home. I'm going to go Beak and Parade, which is Beak's, again, core. Kind of core IPA, which tastes fantastic. And then I'm going to go even closer to home and say that we'll do a wee, I should have available a homebrew of Tropic Thunder, the black double IPA.
No, if you look at the untapped ratings, you wouldn't, but that's maybe a bit more nostalgic than anything else.
Mix it up a wee bit, you know. Totally. Callum, you ready?
Born ready, mate. So my thought process was twofold. So wanted a light, sessionable, smashable beer, wanted a dark beer, and I wanted a big, juicy, dirty beer. But also wanted to try and think of beers that might not automatically spring to the youthies' minds. So for my light, smashable beer, I've went for Long White Clouds by Tempest.
Nice.
You could drink pints of that all day, every day, and you don't get tired there. My dark beer, I've went a bit OG, I've went a bit old school with Pencil HB from Beak, which was a 7.5% porter. No adjuncts, no fucking about, just fucking tremendous beer. And I've kind of went along the same lines as Mark. Mark said sort of verdant any double that they've got on the go at the time. I'm picking Track and kind of going along the same lines. The beer that I thought about was the one that I had back in January, which was the Moving Waves, it was called. Their Dipple with Nelson and Rakao, Sub-Zero, you know, New Zealand style hops. But yeah, any Dipper that Track currently have on, I'll have that forever.
Excellent choices. Gil, you've had plenty of time to check out your Instagram and see what you want to pick. Give us three. If you don't pick, if there's one here, I think there's one here that you should pick, and that's my honourable mention. I was going to say it, but I think you're going to pick it, so I hope you're going to pick it. Go.
My cold day, I want the Cone.
Ooh.
100%. If it's Desert Island Beers, I want the Cone there. I want Cafe Racer.
All right.
Nice.
And then my other one I was kind of toiling with, whether to go light or super duper hellhole stuff, I think I might go Sonoma.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, I didn't pull your goal, but I think I would just for purely as a water substitute, because the other two are for purely for enjoyment.
Nice.
And getting there so that you can last another day, whereas the Sonoma is a pure as a read across of water.
Yeah,
I'm having that.
That's it.
That's for thirst. Sonoma for
hydration,
thirst.
For hydration. For hydration purposes. Sonoma.
the other two purely for enjoyment.
The one that I thought you would maybe have picked was Jakehead. I was
going to go Jakehead. Jakehead was on the list, and then I thought, well, I go Supercharged, and I was like, should I know? And then I thought Sonoma is something I could honestly have instead of water.
I know.
I'm surprised I'm the only one with a lager.
I just didn't. I'm not really a lager guy. I'd much rather have a pint of IPA than a pint of lager. Unless it, like, if it's like 25 degrees all the time. And I know you were thinking about I'm thinking of my island. I'm not that far away from this island, in which case it pushes the rain quite pretty frequently.
McGill's on Iona again. Or fucking Tyree. It's that windy, all the trees are in Norway again.
Well, I spent the last year four days staring at the Bass Rock, so that's my island. Me in the lighthouse, we aligned to the mainland for the kegs of the Cafe Racer Cone and Sonoma on cask.
Cask Sonoma.
No, mate, that's too much faffery, like, for keeping
what else have I got? What other things have I got today other than clean the lines?
That's true.
Build up perfect.
Be the best kept cellar in the world.
No. I'm just sitting with like a wee Linder unit dumped into the sand. Get what I mean?
Imagine how deep you need to dig that hole to keep your lager cold. No.
Christ.
In the sea, mate. Fucking in. Buff.
Although you're not in the Caribbean.
He's on fucking Caribbean Svalbard. He's on Svalbard with all the polar bears. So he can keep his lager cold.
Augustiner's fucking.
My cocks fell off with frostbite, but this lager's fucking good.
Winning.
Right, we will have a new segment which we're going to do weekly as much as we can, is called Cow. It's basically can of. And we're going to fuck
week.
We'll do that in a second. There was an impromptu before you two turned up, and me and Cam were talking of doing something funny. Which I'm going to do it because
this is perfect, Cam. This is perfect because we all finished level decider. In the quiz. Right, so this is the decider, right? So you come on, Cav, right?
This is the decider. So,
I've heard this once, and I don't know the answer. So,
yes, that is correct. He has heard it, but he does not know the answer. So using Google Translate, I have typed in the sentence, 2/3 of pale ale, please. You just need to tell me what country it's from. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. So you're going to hear the Google Translate woman say 2/3 of pale ale, right, please, okay, right, in a foreign language. And you have to tell Gav what country it comes from.
Right, okay. Go for that.
This podcast is shit up, by the way. Why not Patreon? Patreon.com/beerfilterpodcast.
Honestly. Here we go.
2/3 světlého piva.
I'll give you one more time. One more time.
2/3 světlého piva.
There we go. So that in English was saying 2/3 of pale ale. Marcus Hobbs, your guess.
You know how good I am with my languages, mate.
Well, that this was kind of targeted to you, I'm not gonna lie.
100%. Right. I'm looking at the map now. Give me I think
Ukrainian. Ukrainian. Okay, Ukrainian.
Gav, you need to get a map up, and whichever one is geographically is closest gets the win.
Right, Roger. I'm hoping one you just get it right anyway. Scott, your guess.
Slovenian.
Good. Okay.
Well, we're on the same.
Man, I thought it was Eastern European, but I wasn't going to go straight for. I didn't want to go for the obvious Russian, but I don't think it is.
I bet Callum nailed this because it didn't nearly have enough meat. It's been teed up for Mr. Muir.
Not enough meat. Go on then, Cal.
I'm going to go Lithuania. Yeah,
See if he gets it right, and then it looks fucking horrendous.
So basically, what you're telling us, Nanny, I've got it right.
Yeah, no. And
are we miles away?
Nanny's have got it right. So, Callum, you went Lithuania.
Play it again and give us another guess then for
miles.
Hold on. Scott went Slovakia, and you went
Slovenia.
Slovenia, excuse me. Pardon. For
goodness sake. Slovenians are rude.
Yeah, they're fucking howling.
When it's a country that borders all three of them, and it's fucking.
But actually, safe.
Just next
I'm
door.
Safe. I'll say this: there is a winner. I'll play it again. And
2/3 světlého piva.
Does anyone want to change their guess?
No changes. No changes. I'll take back.
Right, okay.
A piva.
Scott.
Romanian.
Scott wins. Is it Romania?
No, it is Czech Republic.
Oh, I was going to fucking... Oh, that's too obvious.
Czechia.
Yes.
It's Czechia.
I was going to say Czech Republic, but that borders Slovenia, so that might have made it more difficult for Gav. It was fucking a different one.
I can't. I've only got one loaded up. So I'm going to be
fucked. That's all right. Scott's the winner of tonight's quizzes. Well done.
Scott's the winner, which means Scott gets to pick his can of the week. A coup.
My can of the week. Now, did I take a picture of it?
Oh, the one on the beach?
No, it's not. Although that was a righteous can. Must have
that
been.
Was a righteous picture as well.
It was a very good picture.
That'll be on the gram very soon.
Airspace IPA. Wasted the green.
I bet I didn't take a picture of it. Find it for you in 2 seconds, though. I don't have to scroll back very far to find this because I took a picture. Should I send it to you, actually? It's from my three... Is it the 3/3 that they were called? My bruiser box. There was a beer I had last night that took me literally 5 minutes to drink it. It was 7% and it was out of this world. Just unbelievable beer.
You never sent it to the group?
I didn't. That's how quick it disappeared.
it was
gone in minutes, and I was like, "Crap!" It was only when I looked at the can afterwards, I was like, "That was 7%. You're an absolute numpty." But it took me literally seconds to drink it, and it was absolutely stupendous. And if I can remember the name of the brewery or the beer, I will tell you in just a sec.
Right, I'll let you score. Mark, have you got any mentions? Because I'll just...
Yeah, have you got a can of the week?
Definitely. Two that just stand out right away was, and you guys waxed lyrical about it when you heard it, was the Après Ski Lager for Wasted Degrees.
Après Ski?
Sky, but aye, fair play. it was a very good beer. And the other one, and I will send it in because this is my attempt at Instagrammable pictures, and I'll send it to the group right now. Was the Triple Points Session Hells Lager. So you can tell I'm lager based in UA, but
lager.
Oh,
it was a very good beer too.
Look at you taking fancy pictures.
It was just one definitely. Of the like. I just the
too bad it's moment. In a fucking freedom.
I love that glass, mate. For waggers, it's so good.
Fucking cunts everywhere. But
by the way, I'm glad one of us got that because that was my Triple Point Brewing. That's the beer I had to chuck. It was the can. The lip of the can must have been burst.
Oh really?
So when I poured it was literally that looks lively and great. Mine was flat, so it had to go. So I'm glad somebody got it at its best because it
oxidized.
It sounded a tremendous beer, but it was just flat. Just because it had been popped. Just round about where the can had sealed, it had popped. But mine was also that brewery too. So it was a Triple Point Brewing, and I will grab the name of it in just a sec. Once we've heard from Hermia.
I was going to say, Callum, you want to put your name in the hat for a coup, or are you no bothered?
No, well, I mean, I've not had craft beer since last week's podcast, but the best craft beer that I've had since last week was Dude, and this double IPA from Drop Project. You must get a can of this if you can, because it's something completely different to what you would expect from a double. It really is. It's that spice and almost savoury note to it. Yeah. It sings for a completely different hymn sheet. Fantastic.
I'll sing off a hymn sheet as well. Other half and Verdant's collaboration called Remember Me If I Forget. If you're grabbing Bruiser or buying direct from Verdant, grab that because that is fucking spectacular. Two fantastic breweries, world renowned for their amazing beers and collaboration, are just smashing it out the fucking park with that bad boy. Have you found it, Scott? We picked the fucking country, didn't we? Who can I find it?
I know. It was so good.
I just want to know, how many pictures you've taken the last few days if you're still scrolling, mate. You know what I mean?
Thousands upon thousands.
Pics of boobs.
procrastinator of the week, I think, is the fucking segment we need to look at. Here, go.
Triple Point in brewery and bar. I will get the beer for you in just a moment. I can't find the actual picture there. I did take a picture. When the box came in,
it's fine.
Too many pics of cock.
That's what it is. It's those damn chickens again.
It's not a Desire 7% by any chance, is it?
Correct, that's it. Desire.
Oh, there it is.
Can.
Fuck.
There you go. Just take a picture of me.
Sheep, deer, rabbit hybrid on the front of it there, is it not?
Just take a picture of me. You take a picture of me.
It's Desire. Absolutely brilliant.
Was it good?
Desire. Aye, really good. Sunk it so quick.
Oh, looking forward to that.
That quick, I forgot about it.
Yeah, that quick, I forgot what it was called.
I'll take a good picture. Don't worry, mate.
Stupendous. Very, very good beer. It just
guaranteed
had all
to,
the kind of...
take a good picture with a thumb or a knee in it, Mark.
Horror. Focus on the background.
It's honestly, it was like fruity, refreshing, zippy, just thirst quenching. I had it when I had the Okami, so I was eating kind of Thai, kind of Asian fusion food, and it was just unbelievable alongside the beef teriyaki and things like that. It was so good. Very, very good beer. It disappeared so quickly.
I tell you what, I'm 100% bringing that segment back.
And by the way, if you ever get the chance to try, just because it was my second beer and I didn't get to shout about it, shouted about it before, but if you get the chance to have Sierra Nevada's Hot Bullet, nice. The Magnum Edition, it is absolutely stupendous. Nice. Make sure and get it. 9.5%. A big can and a wee can.
Sounds good. 100% bringing back Wrong to Be Right, because that was stupidly funny.
If you've got any complaints, send them into the Patreon page or sign up to our Discord, because I would love to hear your answers as well.
Yes. Indeed.
Definitely. All links are on our Instagram page. Search Beer Fridge Podcast. Like, follow, and share. As always, wherever you listened, make sure you subscribe, hit the ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. Please do so the same. Subscribe, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Show your support, hit a 5-star rating, or go to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast where you can show your official support for the podcast. My name is Gavin. That's my drinking buddies. It's been funny. And until next time, get them all.
Bye.
1, 2,